Greetings. This is Steve Schlissel. I am the pastor of Messiah's Congregation in Brooklyn, New York. I have the great privilege of speaking with R.J. Rushdooney, who is the founder and president of the Chalcedon Foundation. Now, you keep listening to these shows, and eventually you're going to find out what Chalcedon is, C-H-A-L-C-E-D-O-N, and I mean also that articulation of the faith, not only the foundation, but you'll find out why the foundation was named after that great moment in church history where the Council of Chalcedon articulated the truth about Jesus Christ in such a way that made possible liberty in the Western world. The president of Chalcedon, as I said, is R.J. Rushdooney. You can reach this foundation and Mr. Rushdooney by writing to Box 158 in Vallecito, California. That's V like Victor, A-L-L-E-C-I-T-O. The zip code there is 95251. The phone number is 209-736-4365. I'll try to give you that again before the end of today's show. We had been talking about Gnosticism, and Rush, we were particularly concerned about how it would manifest itself in modern churches. And if you don't mind me asking a leading question, I'm thinking particularly of extreme Pentecostalism. We know there are many fine Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and churches, but some of them tend toward an extremism that is almost a revival of Gnosticism in a pure form, don't you think?
Yes, that is true. It's a tendency that is in many Christian groups. We have a strong bent in the churches towards Gnostic thinking as though it were more spiritual, and spirituality is often confounded with Gnosticism and Manichaeanism also.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we cannot see the spirit as good and the flesh as bad. Sin can be spiritual and material. Both were created wholly good by God, and both are under the influence of the fall. So that the tendency common in all churches to view spirituality as good and materialism as bad is all wrong. After all, the devil is a spiritual being, and he is totally evil. So that to idealize spirit in itself is a dangerous and really heretical thing, because it is not the flesh that is sin, but man's will that chooses a way opposed to God. And both his mind and body, flesh and spirit, are involved in the choice of evil.
Well, let's look at the other side of that. Not only do we find, according to God's own word, that the devil, who is a spiritual being, is evil, and pure evil at that.
Yes.
We also find that Jesus, who is pure righteousness, became incarnate.
Yes.
So then flesh cannot be inherently wrong or evil.
No, because Jesus Christ demonstrated that the flesh can be totally righteous.
But do some Christians, perhaps new Christians, get confused when they read the wording of the New Testament that that seems to speak about the flesh as if it might mean the physical flesh? There's something wrong with it?
Yes. As used in the New Testament, it means fallen human nature.
So it doesn't mean physicality.
No.
But some take it that way, and Gnosticism is then just a breath away.
Exactly. We forget that biblical language has to be understood not in terms of modern categories, but in terms of the categories of thought of that day.
Mm-hmm. So that would make this one point very important, especially, I say, for new Christians, is that when they read something against the flesh in the Bible. Yes. They're not reading against physicality. They're reading against fallen nature or sinfulness.
Exactly.
Now, early on, there were errors in the church concerning this duality or a false antithesis, as we might say. Let me ask you an introductory question to this subject. How important is it for Christians to study heresies, especially early heresies? Should they concern themselves with these things?
Yes, they should, because they're in the background of the Bible, the New Testament in particular. And while they are not named, they are described. And we need to know what they were because we face the same threat today. The temptation to exalt spirit above physicality is a constant one in the church. And it leads it astray because it drifts into things that are characteristic of some of the heresies of the early church.
Now, we had mentioned Gnosticism, and I want to reiterate that you said that it was principally a theory of knowledge, that is,
yes,
how man knows, and he begins his knowledge enterprise apart from God's revelation, initiates it himself, and then thinks that he can come up with some sort of inside knowledge or special knowledge that puts him a cut above.
Yes, and even more, Gnosticism says that man is the knower, not God. That God is not the source of knowledge, man is. Well, if you believe that, then the Bible cannot be literally true. You have to spiritualize it to make sense of it. And, of course, that's totally wrong.
But then you also read it to get something behind or underneath the text rather than the text itself.
That's right. You read Genesis 1 in terms of evolutionary categories. You turn each day into a vast amount of time so that you have
epochs instead of days.
Yes.
Exactly. Rush, well, that's certainly common among liberals and increasingly among evangelicals of various stripes. More common for many new to the faith today is to, they miss the point that the Bible was given as a revelation of God himself and as a guide for their lives, and they think that they have to look underneath, somehow they have to get underneath the verse to some spiritual hidden meaning.
Yes.
And this often cripples these poor Christians in their effectiveness for Jesus.
That's right. You have to read the Bible exactly as it reads in terms of what it says. When it says 6 days, it means 6 days. When it says Christ rose in the flesh, in the body, it means that. And any attempt to spiritualize those texts is really anti-Christian. It is Manichaeanism.
Now, I want to ask you in a moment what Manichaeanism is, but you're not denying that there are different genres in the Bible. For example, you wouldn't deny that there's poetic scripture, poetic form in the Psalms, for example.
Right.
So there are different ways in which God,
yes,
expresses himself, but when there's a straightforward account, it has to be read in a straightforward manner.
That's right.
But otherwise, we're bringing a presupposition to the scripture that God can't do the sort of thing described, and so we explain it away.
Yes. To get back to Manichaeanism,
yes,
it was one of the most dangerous and evil of heresies in the early church, and it's still a part of the underground world of thinking today. Manichaeanism said there were two gods, the God of spirit and the God of flesh, and the two were totally at odds and eternally so. Well, Christians who regard the flesh as always bad and the spirit as always good are Manichaean in their thinking. They forget that the devil is pure spirit and pure evil.
God is
the creator of both the material and the spiritual realms. Both have fallen, so that both are evil in the fall, and both are converted by Christ unto God, and the culmination of the salvation is the resurrection of the flesh.
That means that our bodies also have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And to think of the physical as always evil is to go against the Word of God, and in effect to deny the resurrection of the body.
But Rush, there's a large portion of Christian history, especially the history of certain branches of piety or devotionalism, that have made it their mainstay to deny what they call the flesh, and they mean physicality.
Yes, and it is thoroughgoing heresy, because the flesh is God's creation. It was created entirely good in the Garden of Eden, and its destiny is to be redeemed by Christ, who is both body and soul himself.
Now, when you say that the flesh is good and physicality is good, listeners should not confuse this with thinking that God has relinquished any sort of control over our self-control, and consequently that he would be opposed to, for example, modesty. Some people would take to an extreme and say, physicality is good, let's let it all hang out, do what you want to do. But that's another extreme.
No, both spirit and flesh are to be governed by the Word of God. And if we are obedient to God, then both our body and our spirit are under His law word.
So then sexuality also is good when it's governed by God's Word.
Exactly. And too often, people assume that they are being spiritual by forsaking the flesh, forsaking physicality. This has taken various forms, including some kinds of monasticism, and it's wrong. We do not become more spiritual by denying the flesh, but only by denying the fallen flesh.
Some have, and some who are even prominent in the first several centuries of the church, some even went so far as to castrate themselves.
Yes, unhappily, that is true. And one of the most prominent of the early church fathers did exactly that. And he found that after he castrated himself, he still had the same sinful thoughts.
It's a tough time to find out.
Yes.
Well, Rush, originally Manichaeanism, and let me spell this for the people. It can either be spelled M-A-N-I-C-H-A-E-A-N, which is Manichaean, or Manichaeanism. It's both the same, but they're acceptable in the dictionary. It was brought about through the teachings of a man named Mani. Now, originally, it was something that resembled Zoroastrianism, wasn't it?
Very much so, very closely related to it. It held that there were two gods, one a spiritual god, one a physical, material god, and that they were both equal in power and would eternally be at war without ever attaining a victory. Well, Manichaeanism has to this day a very strong influence among church people, and they regard the flesh as totally and inescapably evil, which of course is wrong. And as a result, what they strive for is a false spirituality. A true spirituality is one which uses all our being in the service of God, and with all our being obeys the law word of God. So that true Christianity is not anti-flesh nor anti-spirit, but actually anti-sin.
Anti-sin. So then what God wants from us is not to have nothing to do with this world or the flesh or things, but rather to deal rightly with them.
Yes. That's why we can have Christian marriage. Extreme Manichaeanism opposes marriage and sexuality.
You know, Rush, that people hear this word Manichaeanism and they get a little bit frightened, but they need to know, I think, how widespread this particular error was in the early centuries of the church. It made its way into the China and was sustained there as a secret religion until at least the 16th century.
Yes.
It claims Augustine as a convert.
Yes. Well, he was in his early days.
In his early days.
Very much given to it, and later on in his life, of course, as a Christian, thoroughly renounced it and renounced whatever lingering influence it had on him for a time after his conversion.
So we've spoken about this idea of the antithesis, and that is the principle of hostility between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, you could say, and or righteousness and sin. It seems that when you look at any heresy that has made headway in the church and upset it, that it's usually a misplaced antithesis, that they're setting up the opposition not between sin and righteousness, but between something else.
Very well stated. The false antithesis is basic to a great deal of the problems within Christianity today.
Now, you speak often about dualism. What is it that you mean when you speak of dualism?
Dualism makes both good and evil equal, ultimately, so that you have God and the devil on an equality basis, and neither wins. The battle is continuous and eternal, whereas as Christians we believe that the battle between sin and righteousness results in the triumph of sin, in the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal kingdom of God.
The triumph of righteousness. Over
yes.
Sin. Yes. Now, that would seem to be implicated or implied in the very incarnation. I mean, why would God send his Son to live among us if it wasn't his plan to destroy sin?
Yes. And to redeem both flesh and spirit.
So then God is not simply in the soul collection business, but in the redemption ministry, looking to redeem his whole fallen creation and bring it into conformity to his will and his image.
Right, and that's why we were told at the end there will be a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, both a spiritual and the material realms will be totally redeemed by our Lord.
We have been speaking with R.J. Rushdoony. I'm Steve Schlissel from Brooklyn, New York, pastor of Messiah's Congregation. Mr. Rushdoony is the founder and president of the Chalcedon Foundation. That's Chalcedon. You can write for more literature. Drop $2 in an envelope. Look under your couch. You can probably find $2. And send it in an envelope to Box 158, Vallecito, V-A-L-L-E-C-I-T-O, California, 95251, and request a copy of the Chalcedon Report. And you will be reading articles. For many of you, I suspect it'll be somewhat the first time that you're reading about the whole Bible applied to all of life, every sphere of living. And not just your prayer closet. Your prayer closet is important, but it's not the only sphere with which God is concerned. If you'd like to call, give a call to 209-736-4365. Now, we had been speaking about errors that instruct us, not only because it's the background of the New Testament, but also, Rush, because these errors are still with us to a very large extent. And that's certainly true of Manichaeanism.
Yes, very definitely so. It is the underground religion, so to speak, of the modern world.
You wrote that within the church, covert Manichaeism of modern man takes another form, an older one. Instead of a moral antithesis between faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, these churchmen have another antithesis between spirituality and materialism.
Yes.
Many churchmen will object to a doctrinal clarity of faith. They prefer to be general and vague on matters like infallibility and inerrancy, the atonement, the incarnation, but silent on passages like six-day creation, predestination, and God's law. They're very vocal about the need for more spirituality, a vague term, you wrote, which often means being more church-oriented. Now, isn't that largely where we've ended up in modern evangelicaldom, is believing that spirituality, or a life that pleases God, which spirituality is shorthand for that, is really just what you do in the church and for the local church, and not how you live your life?
Yes. Sadly, what you have just described does describe our present plight. We forget that the Puritans became conquerors precisely because they had a healthy view of both the physical and the material realms, and the recognition that God called them to triumph in both spheres.
Well, we certainly see that the Puritans, if nothing else, were whole Bible Christians.
Yes.
Now, people sometimes talk about whole Bible Christianity, but they still manage to segment it rather sharply. There's an error in the early church, again, that functionally appears today, and that's Marcionism.
Yes.
And that's where the Old Testament essentially is just dispensed with.
Yes, and that, unfortunately, is very prevalent among many today. They go to the Old Testament only insofar as it relates to the New, predicts what comes to pass in the New. And as a result, it is obsolete except for the prophetic element.
Mm-hmm. So people will just have their little prophecy Bibles and say, look, this is predicting Jesus, and now that it's done, we don't need that portion anymore.
Yes, I recall when I was young encountering a man who amazed me by his ability to quote verses from all over the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's marvelous to know so much of the Bible by heart. But after a while, I came to realize that he did not know the Bible as a whole. He was ignorant of a great deal. All he had done was to go to certain texts in the Old Testament and New and memorize them. So he really did not know his Bible.
It's like having a list of all the right ingredients but unable to make a pie.
That's right.
Well, friends, we've been talking to R.J. Rushdooney, who's the founder and the president of the Chalcedon Foundation in California. I urge you to drop $2 in an envelope to get a sample copy of the Chalcedon Report. Just mail that to Box 158, Vallecito, V-A-L-L-E-C-I-T-O, California. 95251 is their zip code. Their phone number is 209-736-4365 during normal business hours. When we come together next time, we'll continue our discussion of these matters that are so important for Christians to be aware of today. It actually has a practical impact and consequence on your life. It's not just theory. If you're not taught Christianity from the Bible, and you're taught it out of someone's wrong-headed thinking, it's going to affect your life, your family, and your family's future. So may the Lord grant that we would handle the word aright on this program, and we look forward to joining you again soon. God bless you, and good night.